Take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. We'll read verses 6, 7, and 8 this morning. And would you please stand with me so that together we might honor the reading of God's Word this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 6. The Bible says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, you've reminded us in many ways this morning of what our responsibility is as your children. We are to let our lamps shine because our lamps reflect the light who is Jesus. Teach us this morning from your word. Thank you, Lord, for reminding and encouraging us that one day each of us will stand before you as one of your children. And God will see the difference that we allowed you to make in our lives on behalf of others. Faces. Father, it's the simple story of Jesus. And I pray today that we would never tire of telling that old, old story. Bless now this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. John is the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. He was born in a spiritually dark time. 400 years of silence from Malachi to the Gospel of Matthew. 400 years. That's a long, long time since the Jews had heard from heaven. Listen carefully. Malachi would close out his book in chapter 4. He writes, "Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I have commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." That Elijah, by the way, is John the Baptist. "And the heart of the children," this is his message, "and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." In that text that I just read, herein lies the great hope of the church. And what is the great hope? The fact that God said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah. I will send you a warning before the great and dreadful day of judgment comes." God not only sent John, and John himself proclaimed, and all this is in John chapter 1, especially in verse 23. He says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah." God is so gracious and kind to us. And we don't have to look far to see his hand of mercy and goodness. He sent John. John was more than a baptizer. John was a witness. I titled this message, "John the Witness," because that's what he was. And I want you to go back to our text and look at what it says in verse 7. "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, so that all men through the light, through Jesus, might believe." What a powerful, powerful statement. We're living in dark days. The commandments remain broken. In the Old Testament, the prophets were slain. In our day, we want to ignore those who preach and teach the Bible because they say, well, they're just a little bit off. I mean, they're a little, maybe too legalistic. Maybe they're just too graphic. It's all this doom and gloom. It's all negative. Our nation is on the verge of disaster. And yet God, by his amazing grace, has not abandoned his covenant with mankind. He sent a man. His name was John. My quest today and my challenge to you is simply this. Will you be a John? Let me share with you some things about John. He was born, his parents were elderly. His father was a priest, Zacharias. And we could go to Luke's Gospel in chapter 1 and it gives us all the story, but I'm going to make it short for you this morning. Zechariah was a priest, and it was his time, part of his ministration. He was to go into the temple, and he was to offer up the incense. He was to go in and to light everything, and that was his responsibility. And he had gone in, and the people were outside praying, and he'd gone in, and while he was in there, an angel came and spoke to him and said this to him: "You and your wife Elizabeth, even though she's barren, they never were able to have children, she is going to have a son, and you're going to call his name John." And he messes up. He did what you and I would probably do. How will I know that this is going to happen? How do I know you're even an angel? The angel said, "When I get through talking to you, you're going to be deaf and you're going to be mute. You're not going to be able to speak. You're not going to be able to hear anything. You're going to remember what I have said to you. You're going to have a son. His name is going to be John." When he walks out, the people are looking at him. He can't speak. He's motioning. He's making signs. There's no communication whatsoever. He's deaf and he's mute. He can't talk. Elizabeth's pregnant. 9 months later, when she has the baby, she says, "We're going to call him John." Now, that's unusual in a Jewish family because you normally name the firstborn after someone else in your family. They said, "But there's nobody in your family by the name of John." She says, "We'll call him John." So they went to Zacharias. They said, "Your wife's having to make it all these signs." So he points and they give him something to write, and he takes a tablet and he writes down the name John on the tablet. Remember now, he can't hear, he can't speak. And as soon as he wrote down John, the Bible says his lips were loosed, his ears opened, and he began to prophesy. And what he said was that my son will be one as a voice crying in the wilderness, and he will go forth making way for the Messiah of Israel. It was a common name, John. We're going to see in a few moments that John literally, and this is in Mark chapter 1, excuse me, he went out into the desert and he wore camel's hair and he wrapped himself in burlap. Right there just makes you real uncomfortable just thinking about it. And he ate grasshoppers. If that were to happen in our day, they'd say, "That's a weird dude. I mean, he is different." They'd say, "He needs help. He needs therapy." Some say, "No, he needs to be locked up. Is anybody that wears burlap and camel hair and they're going around eating grasshoppers and berries, something's not right with them." But yet, you see, John was different. Why? Because he had two calls on his life. Number one, he was a priest because his father was a priest. And secondly, he had taken a Nazarite vow. There's only three Nazarite vows in the Bible. One was by a man by the name of Samuel. The second was a man by the name of Samson. Samson didn't do real well with that Nazarite vow. He broke it. And then John. But what about the Nazarite? They're not supposed to be around anything dead. That means animals or human. Anything that's dead. In other words, he couldn't go to funerals. Secondly, he's not to take anything to do with wine. Thirdly, his appearance. He's never to cut his hair. Now, you remember that with Samson. He's never to cut his hair. So he comes, and what he simply does is he sacrifices. He comes, and he consecrates these areas of his life unto the Lord. He literally gives himself, his appetites, his appearance, he gives everything about himself, all of his affection, everything as far as the world is concerned. He is not in touch with that. Why? Because he has dedicated his life solely unto God. God called John to bear witness of the light. Now let me ask you a question this morning. What is the difference between John and you and me? Paul, writing in his epistles, he tells us that we need to put off the old man and put on the new. The new man is that of Christ, but put off the old man and all of its affections. He writes in the book of Romans, in chapter 6, he talks about that we've got to be careful because whatever members of our body that we surrender to unrighteousness, that is the very ones that we'll be slave to. We'll be slave to our appetites. We'll be slave to our affections. We'll be a slave to our appearance. The things of the world, the things of the flesh. One last thing I want to tell you about John. See, well, John, he was a voice crying in the wilderness. You know, you can't really see a voice. But what is it about a voice that's so significant? You hear a voice. John said, "I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make the way straight. Level everything in this path." A voice crying. If you were to stand today before your family, your friends, maybe even people who don't even know you, what kind of ring of truth would your voice have? You see, John, and John Phillips wrote this, he said, John was sent from God because he had been with God. No one who's ever been sent from God has never been with God. If you've been sent from God, that's because you have been with God. You see, that was his authority. That was his testimony. That was the confidence that he had, because he not only was a witness to the light, but he was a testimony of what he had experienced. Listen to me. John was not a lawyer. He was a witness. A lawyer tries to do what? He tries to influence and bring the jury to a place where they agree with whatever his goal and intention is. A witness is to stand up and say the truth and nothing but the truth and the whole truth. John was sharing just what he'd heard about Jesus. He was sharing what he knew about Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus was the light, and that light was the very life of man. John testified of that. He testified of that. One last thing, listen carefully. The Bible says, and John did no miracle. John never performed a miracle. You think, well, he was John the Baptist, and he was the forerunner of Jesus. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was the last of the line, and John had all of this inside, and I mean, he baptized Jesus, and yet you tell us that John did no miracle? John did no miracle. Jesus himself said that John is a lamp. That's over in chapter 5, verse 35 of John. He said, John is a lamp. And what is he saying? A lamp, listen, it has to be refueled. It has to be carried by someone else. And the lamp is a mere reflection of what's in it. John is a lamp. Are you a lamp? What are you reflecting today? What does your life reflect today? You see, because what that which we receive our power and our source, the very light that we expose ourselves to, that is the very thing that you and I are reflecting for the whole world to see today. And this is what we see. The world today is all about image. We want to look good. We want to sound good. You know, and we want to make sure that we're with the right people in the crowd, and you know, and we may be a little bit shy about standing out, but yet we want to make sure that we don't stand out in a negative way, because we don't want people to think we're crazy or we're weird or we're different. But yet here comes John, wrapped up in camel's hair and burlap, eating grasshoppers and berries. And all he does, he just yells. He stands out. But he was bearing witness to the light. The song that Jeff just finished singing, Faces. Have you ever thought about it? When I stand before Jesus, I wonder if my life has made any impact on anybody else's life. I wonder if my life has counted for anything. And see, if all I'm worried about is what I want to do and how I look, and I'm worried about my appetites and my appearance, and I'm worried about all of those things, my affections, if it's just about me, then one day when I stand before Jesus, it's just going to be me. And I haven't influenced anyone else for the kingdom at all. Ladies and gentlemen, how long is eternity? It's a long, long time. It says in verse 8 that he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. God did not save you so that you could sit comfortably in a church and just sort of stay out of the limelight. God saved you because he wants to send you to do what? To bear witness of the light. In closing, that doesn't mean I'm getting finished. That means I'm just circling the runway. This plane hasn't landed yet. Bearing witness to the light, listen to me now, it's not just living your Christian life and doing things or not doing certain things. That's not bearing your witness. Listen to me. bearing your witness is just like John, is when you share the gospel with someone. That's how we bear witness. We share the gospel because, listen, the world is in trouble. The world is depraved. We need to tell the world that it's depraved. How do you do that? Well, I live my life. You need to say that. Yesterday, the Alabama fans were happy. Seminole fans were happy. Florida Gators still hadn't figured out where they're supposed to be today. Georgia Tech, I was a Gator, I was a Seminole, I was a Tech, I was this, I was this. But are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? When we share the gospel, we share with people that Jesus came to save us from our sins. The death, burial, and the resurrection. You say, well, David, don't we need to take a class? No. Not really. Classes sometimes mess you up because then you have a canned presentation and you've got to make sure that you say it just right. And if you get all caught up in the presentation and you don't say it and you get one ahead of the other, you think you've messed it up. But you know what the greatest presentation is? The most powerful thing is when you take the Word of God and say, this is what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and what He has done for me and what He can do for you. And this is why He came. And oh yes, by the way, He's coming again. And then one day that you and I are going to stand before Him and we're going to have to give an answer. And accountability, how I live my life and how you lived your life. That's simple. If you knew a friend of yours had a disease that was terminal, and you knew someone who had the cure, what would you do with that truth? Would you keep it to yourself? No. You would tell them. Why? Because you love them, and you want them to be well. You want them to live. The gospel is the cure for man's terminal illness. The wages of sin is death. And you and I have the cure. And how dare we hold on to it? We need to share the old, old story. Dr. Terry's going to come. I want you to listen very carefully to the words he's going to sing.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed His birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed Him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid Him. Tell how He liveth again. Love of the story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Say, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
The gospel message is simply telling the story of Jesus. It's telling people about Christmas. He was born of a virgin. Telling people about Easter. He died to pay our sin debt in full, and that he arose again. We know this. My prayer is that God will give you the courage as we come up on these holidays that you will share the story of Jesus. Just tell them about Jesus. It's real simple. And I pray that you would. Give God your fears, give him all your anxieties, and just trust him that he's going to open the door up so that you can share the gospel of the good news. That's the greatest Thanksgiving gift anyone could ever receive. And it's the greatest Christmas present anyone could ever receive, knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. Amen? All right. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we come now to this invitation. And Lord, this morning I pray that as you take us through this invitation, that God, you would continue to speak to the hearts and minds of these men and women and young people. Life is so precious. And God, when it's gone, it's almost scary. Because nothing can be done then. Nothing can be said. It's over. Yet, Lord, as a child of God, it's just really the beginning for us because we'll be with you in heaven. And Lord, that very fact alone ought to encourage us and challenge us to share the gospel. Tell people the story of Jesus. Help us to live our lives, Lord, in such a way that when we tell them the story of Jesus, it'll be believable. Because that's the difference Jesus makes in our lives. Lord, help us not to be fearful of standing out and seeming out of touch and awkward and just different. Lord, help us to understand just how long eternity is going to be. Lord, I pray this morning that you would challenge the heart of every soul in this room. God, you've sent John, and you've sent us. That's why you saved us, to share the glory, to bear witness to the light of Jesus. And I pray that we would do it, yes, with fear and trembling, but then, Lord, with great joy as we obey and do that which you've asked of us. Now, Lord, as I close in prayer, I pray for that one who's here today who's never given their life to Jesus. They're not a believer. They're not a Christian. They know it because the Spirit of God has taken the Word of God and revealed that to them. I pray that as we begin to sing this hymn in just a few moments, that they would step out and they would come, and their desire would be to ask Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. God, it would be our privilege to share with them the good news. Father, this is not about church membership. It's about knowing Jesus. And I pray that you would prove that today. Spirit of God, have thine own way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.